Hi, my name is Rachel L. I'm a compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. I'm an official 100 pounder. And I want to thank Anne for, inviting me to this beautiful meeting to share my experience, strength, and hope. So I'm gonna start off, I was definitely born a compulsive overeater. There's a picture of me as a baby right here. And, my mom told me a story. She took me to the doctor when I was about 6 weeks old because I would not stop crying unless she put a bottle in my mouth. Here's another photo of me. As you see, there's a pacifier in my mouth. This is my uncle and me, and I'm crying, crying, crying. She said I just would not stop crying. So I would, cry unless I was being fed. I was happiest when there was, a bottle in my mouth. Here's a picture of me again. I'm about maybe 8, 9 months old here, and as you see, I'm happiest can be with a sugary substance in a bottle. I think there's apple juice in this bottle, and as you see, I'm a happy baby. In my family, we have really messed up nicknames. My nickname is Fats. It's Phatz, Fats. Both my parents are addicts. I come from a very long line of addicts. So my mom is still in her addiction. And my dad got clean when I was about 1 year old. So I grew up in the world of NAAA. I grew up in the room. So here's a picture of my dad and me. I was about 1 year old, and as you can see right here, there's the Serenity Prayer. So I knew the Serenity Prayer before I knew my ABCs. So when I came into OA, I had a lot of spiritual arrogance. I thought I knew everything. I was very cocky. I was very, you can't teach me nothing. So I got slapped really hard, like really, really hard. When I was about, I would say 5 or 6 years old, my parents put me on diet pills. They put me on diet pills because they thought I was overweight. This is me and my mom when I was about six. So this is when they wanted me to lose about 50, 60 pounds, because I was overweight. And I remember I would go to the doctor's office, and there was this huge wall of a bunch of happy kids, because they were thin. And this doctor would take me to this treasure chest of stuffed animals. And I love tigers. So he would show me this tiger, and he would say, and he would let me play with it for a minute, and he would rip it out of my hands. Then he would say, "You haven't lost the weight till you don't get to play with the tiger anymore." And he would throw it back in the treasure chest, slam it, and he'd go, "Now go home and lose the weight." I never got that tiger because I never lost the weight. I remember, I would not eat for, 6 days because I'd be so, high on these pills, and then I would be off of it for a day and I would crash and I would binge like no tomorrow. When I was 8 years old, my parents got bunk beds, and I remember stuffing, treats and whatnot in my pillowcase, and the food would fall on my sister, and she would yell at me, "If another candy bar falls on my head, I'm telling mom." And I would go, no, please, please, please don't tell mom, don't tell mom." And that was my first memory of hiding food, and they thought putting me on the top bunk would, make me lose weight by going up and down the ladder. By the age of 12, I was about 200 pounds. So this is me at the age of 12. I don't know if you guys can see that, 'cause it's, and that was because I had a grandma that would force feed me, but yet call me fat all the time. She would, feed me and say, "Well, oh my God, why aren't you eating my cooking? Why aren't you eating my food?" But when I, would eat the food, it was, "Oh my goodness, you're eating so much. You're blowing up like a balloon. Oh my goodness, you ate so much yesterday. What is wrong with you?" So when I was 13 years old, I met this boy that I thought I was head over heels in love with. And, he also loved to feed me. So I gained even more weight, By the time I was 14, I was about 350 pounds. So I just kept eating and eating and eating. When I was 14, I came home and all my stuff was on the front lawn. My parents threw me out. To this day, I don't know why. They were in their active addiction. My dad relapsed. My stepmom was, doing drugs too. So I don't know why what happened. So I was on the street. I figured it out. I did what I had to do. And I just, I just figured it out, And I think it was 2 weeks after I turned 18, I married that boy that I was dating when I was 13. And I took off to Sacramento with him because he had family up in Sacramento. And that was my escape. That was, just get the hell out of San Diego and run, So I ran as fast as I could, and I got up there. And when I got up there, my mental health crashed. I had a psychotic break, and when that happened, my food went insane too. I ended up being diagnosed with bipolar schizophrenia, and that was, I ended up getting on a bunch of medications and all that stuff. I did end up, getting two master's degrees. This is me graduating with one of my friends. I was working towards a doctorate, and doctorate in veterinary medicine, and I was also truck driving. So I was truck driving, going to school. I was doing 3 24-hour shifts a week, which is not very legal, but I was doing it anyways because I'm a workaholic. And I was going to school full time. So it was like I was balancing everything. Well, I ended up falling off the back of my semi truck, and I slipped two discs, compressed two discs, and I exploded my tailbone. I was done. I woke up in the hospital, and I had to have massive back surgery. So this is me after I was wheelchair bound, and this is me at about almost 400 pounds. They basically told me, you're done. I was so depressed. I was so sad. I didn't know what to do. So I was stuck in the house. I was depressed out of my mind. I contemplated suicide. I said, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to anything? Let me get one little sip of water. Hold on. So I was eating and eating and eating, and something sparked in my head. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna make a job out of this. So I started recording myself eating. And there's a community out there of people who like to watch people eat and will pay big money to watch big women eat. So I started getting paid to eat. And when I say paid, I mean paid. I started making a lot of money very fast. And I justified it. I hated ED with an ED. I hated myself for doing it, but I kept doing it because it paid my bills. And I did that for a while. And it was really hard, but I was able to pay my rent. I was able to buy a car. I was able to do all this stuff. So I kept doing it. And then, I ended up getting cancer. And when I got the cancer, my hair started falling out, all of this stuff. And it just, everything went downhill really, really fast after that. I ended up getting up to 571 pounds. And I had a stroke. I had a stroke, and I, became completely bedbound. I couldn't roll over on my own. I couldn't do nothing. I could do nothing on my own. I ended up in a skilled nursing facility at the age of 24. And that still wasn't a wake-up call. That still didn't slap me in the face with reality. I still was eating. And finally, I said, you know what? I was in the nursing home for almost, I think, 2.5 years at this point, and I still was eating. I was still doing everything. I would have bags of chips and goodies and all this stuff in my bed, and I would hide it with a blanket, like as if nobody could see this mountain of crap on my bed and act like no one could see it. And this is me at 571 pounds, and as you see, there's a big huge plate of food in front of me. And I have another picture of me at 500. Yep, here it is. This is me at 571 pounds. I may have been bigger at that point right here. No clothes fit me because I was so big. I couldn't afford the clothes that would fit me, that could fit me. So that's me right there. I literally I got a phone call and they told me, Rachel, you're cancer free now. And I cried, and my whole family's crying. They're so happy, and I'm crying. And I'm like, why didn't you just kill me? I was so sad that I didn't die. Anyways, about a week later, I had to have a procedure on my abdomen. And they said, okay, you have to have, a bowel movement to make sure you can get released. So I go to, use a restroom, and I go to stand up, and my knee dislocated because of how large I was. And it took two Hoyer lifts and seven people to get me off that toilet. I laid there. They finally got me off the toilet into a bed, and I laid there, and I cried to a God I didn't believe in and said, please help me. I need help. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need to put myself on a diet because I can't do this. This is so embarrassing. I wanted to die. I just didn't know what to do. So I went back to the skilled nursing facility, and I said, I need to go on a diet. So I said, okay, I'm going to eat baked chips and sugar-free this and sugar-free that. No more. I'm going to only eat salad. That lasted a good week, and then I laid there and I said, God, please help me. Please help me. So I looked up AA for fat people, and OA popped up. And I said, okay, what is this whole OA thing? And I went to my first meeting, and it was a bunch of skinny people. And I said, what the do all these skinny people know about overeating? And the first man that I shared, he said, hi, my name is so and so, and I used to weigh 600 pounds. And I went, oh, I need to shut my dirty mouth. And since then, I started going to 2 to 3 meetings a day. My first 60 days, I went to over 120 meetings in 60 days. I have now lost, I think it's a hundred and I think it's 150 pounds now. And now today I have 6 months of abstinence. And now instead of sleeping with chips and goodies and all of that in the bed, I sleep with my big book in my bed every day. I have an amazing sponsor. I am open to sponsor right now. I had a couple of sponsees, but things happen. So I am available to sponsor now. And it's just, and now I have a higher power that I do believe in, that I do pray to. And it's just funny because my first couple weeks in OA, my higher power was Steve the Rock. It was literally a rock with googly eyes and a drawn on Sharpie smile, because I could not, if you were going to press this whole God thing on me, my foot was already out the door, because I couldn't do it. I could not, if you were going to press that on me and be like, you have to do this thing, I was bye, goodbye. But once I heard it was a God of your understanding, and I was like, oh, and someone sat me down and I said, well, I don't know what my higher power is. I can't come up with a higher power of my understanding. What are you talking about? And someone sat me down and said, well, Rachel, what is your perfect spouse? What do you want out of a perfect spouse? I said, oh, it has to be this, has to be that. And they said, then do that with your higher power. And I went, oh, okay. So I was so depressed and so sad when I first came into OA that coming up with Steve the Rock would make me smile when I had to pray to Steve the Rock, So now, of course, I'm not praying to a rock anymore. I have a way better conception of a higher power, but it would make me laugh. It would make me smile when I wanted to do nothing but cry, But yes, Steve the Rock was, the real one for a while. But 10 steps are a huge one for me, because when my first couple of days in OA, I had to give up my best friend Chips, and I had a roommate, mind you, when I lived in the nursing home, I had three other roommates. And I politely asked all three of them, could you not eat chips in front of me for the next couple of days? And what did my roommate do? She went and grabbed the biggest bag of chips, cracked it open, and looked me right in the eye and started eating it. So I went on a phone meeting, and I said, I'm abstinent just for today of not punching people in the throat. So I have to do 10 steps, because 10 steps keeps me out of jail. Because I know you guys will come visit me here in San Diego, but I know nobody's coming to visit me in prison. So I do 10 steps big time, because I'm a very overthinker. well, why did they say that about me? Why, I know they're thinking this about me, when really nobody's really thinking that much about me. I'm not that big of a deal, but I think I am until I do a 10 step, you know? So, but yes, that's why, you know, I have to really work this program because I'm one bite away from dying. I'm one bite away from being over 600 pounds, you know? And now, as you can see, I am no longer in a nursing home. I'm in my own place now. You know, I walk now. I no longer am completely bed bound. You know, I am in the 400s. I am no longer almost 600 pounds. So it's like I have my puppy back. You know, she comes, you know, me and my ex-husband, we share, you know, custody over. Yes, we fought over custody over a dog. But I get to have my puppy back. I have a life again. You know, and my thing is, I thought I was completely hopeless, and you know, this program was not going to work for me. I'm completely hopeless. I'm too big. I'm too this. I'm too that. No one is completely hopeless in this program, you know. And honestly, give it 30 days, and if it don't work for you, we can refund your miserableness. We can refund, you know, the horribleness of the food obsession back to you, you know. But I can guarantee you are not too hopeless to work this program. And with that, I will pass.